Welcome to a deep dive into AI and something a lot of us know well, mortgage lending.
Yeah, getting into that.
We've got this research paper, really interesting stuff, fresh out of Lehigh University.
Hot off the press.
Yeah, and they're simulating the whole mortgage approval process, but get this, using large language models.
Yeah, it's really fascinating research because it gets us about as close as we can get to seeing how AI could actually be used in the real world of finance, you know, using real data.
Right. So we're not just talking about hypotheticals here.
Exactly.
We're talking about a future where, and I think this is where it gets kind of mind-blowing, you apply for a mortgage, and instead of some, you know, loan officer in a suit looking over your application, it's an AI.
Exactly. And that's, I think, what makes this research so compelling. It digs deep into whether that AI, that decision-making process, is actually fair. You know, like any tool AI can be used for good or potentially, you know, perpetuate existing biases.
Okay, so let's break this down.
Yeah.
The researchers, they use real loan data, anonymized, of course.
Also, of course.
From the Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, the HMDA. Mm-hmm. But here's where it gets really interesting. They were able to tweak specific factors in the data.
Yeah.
Things like race and credit score.
Right. And this is crucial because it allowed them to really isolate how the AI was responding solely to those factors. In the real world, you have so many other variables, but this gets to the heart of it.
It's like a controlled experiment.
Exactly. They tested a bunch of the leading LLMs, including GPT-4, which a lot of people know, from OpenAI and Google's LambdaDA model.
So the big players.
Yeah, the big players. And unfortunately, I mean, the results were, they were pretty consistent across the board.
And not good, right?
Not great, no.
We're talking about significant bias against Black applicants.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what they found. On average, Black applicants needed a credit score that was 120 points higher than white applicants to even be recommended for approval at the same rate.
120 points. Just to be considered equally.
That's huge.
That's a massive difference. I mean, what kind of impact would that have in the real world? We're talking about people's lives here.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, right? It's not just a theoretical bias in some algorithm. This could mean the difference between, you know, qualifying for a loan, getting that house, or being rejected, potentially locked out of homeownership opportunities, or even worse, forced into loans with, you know, less favorable terms, higher interest rates, things like that.
So it's not just a theoretical bias, it has a real tangible impact on people's lives.
Precisely. And it gets even more worrying when you look at applicants with lower credit scores to begin with. The study found the AI's bias was even more pronounced in those cases, meaning it could actually make existing financial inequalities even worse.
It's like a vicious cycle. The people who need fair access to credit the most are the ones who might be most disadvantaged by the very technology that's supposed to be objective.
Exactly. And that really underscores the need for fairness in these AI systems, especially when they're making decisions that have such a profound impact on people's lives.
Yeah, their livelihoods. Yeah. So where do we even go from here? I mean, how do we address this?
Well, that's where this idea of prompt engineering comes in, which the researchers actually dug into a bit in the paper.
Okay, right. Prompt engineering. Remind me again what that is.
Yeah. So basically, it's about how we talk to the AI, you know, how we craft the instructions we give it.
Like literally the words we use.
Yeah. And it turns out even subtle changes can make a big difference. In this case, the researchers found that by explicitly telling the AI to make unbiased decisions, like literally just saying be fair, they could significantly reduce and in some cases even eliminate the discriminatory outcomes.
Wow. So just telling the AI to be fair actually works.
Well, it's not quite that simple, but it shows how sensitive these models are to the instructions, you know, to the prompts. Even small tweaks to the wording can lead to big differences in how the AI makes decisions. And that in itself is, well, it's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. It's almost like, I don't know, it makes you wonder how much bias we're unintentionally baking in with the way we currently use AI just by, you know, not being careful enough with our language.
Yeah, it's a huge point. And this is where the study gets, well, frankly, kind of scary.
Right.
They found that the AI's recommendations, even with the biases we've been talking about, they actually lined up with real-world lender decisions from the HMDA data with, get this, 92.3% accuracy.
Wait, so you're saying the AI, even with limited info, was basically mirroring the decisions made by, you know, human loan officers?
Pretty much, yeah. Which, on the one hand, it's amazing, right? It means AI could actually be useful in this space. But on the other hand,
it's terrifying because it's replicating potentially biased human behavior.
Exactly. So it's not just about fixing the AI, it's about looking in the mirror at ourselves and the systems we've created. Are those systems inherently flawed? It's a much bigger question.
It's like, if the AI is this good at reflecting us, maybe we don't like what we're seeing.
And that's the heart of it. If we're going to use AI in this way, we need to be really damn careful about what it's learning from, about the data we feed it.
Because if the data itself is biased, the AI is just going to perpetuate those biases, even if we tell it not to, right?
100%. This is what makes this research so important. It's a wake-up call. It's not just about saying, look, AI can be biased. It's about prompting us as a society to think about solutions. It's about responsibility.
And it sounds like it's going to take a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
We can't just tweak the algorithms.
Right.
We need to look at the data itself.
Precisely. We need to be way more intentional about the data sets that we use to train these models, you know, making sure they're diverse, representative, and don't contain those baked-in historical biases that can really perpetuate these inequalities.
So garbage in, garbage out, right?
To some extent, yeah, but it goes deeper than that even. We have to think about the specific features, the data points that are being used. Even something like a zip code can be, you know, indirectly correlated with race or socioeconomic status.
Yeah. It's those hidden connections, the things you might not even consider until you really start digging deep.
Exactly. And that's where the real challenge lies. We need to be constantly questioning, auditing these systems, looking for hidden biases. We can't just look at the surface.
That's a great point. And I think it's a good segue to talking about the bigger picture, about AI in society as a whole. It's almost like, I don't know, AI is kind of holding up this mirror, right?
Yeah.
To our own biases as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forcing us to confront this idea that we're not just building algorithms, we're potentially replicating patterns of inequality that have been around for, well, forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what this research does, it's not just holding up the mirror, it's encouraging us to look into it and say, okay, what can we do about this? How do we actually build and use these powerful tools in a way that promotes fairness, that makes things more equitable, not less?
Because this goes way beyond just mortgages.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking healthcare, education, even criminal justice. Areas where a biased decision that can have, like, life-altering consequences.
Absolutely. And I think that's where this conversation needs to go. It's not just about, can we debias the algorithm? It's, can we debias our thinking? Can we address those systemic issues that are reflected in the data itself? Because that's what we're feeding these AIs, our own messy reality.
So this isn't just a tech problem, it's a human problem.
It's a human problem that requires a human solution, or at least a human-driven solution. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So where does that leave us? I mean, what can we do? This feels bigger than any one of us.
It is bigger than any one of us, but it's not beyond us. And that's, I think, the point to emphasize. We all have a role to play, right? As individuals, we need to learn about this stuff. We need to understand how AI is being used, and we need to talk about it, have these conversations.
Knowledge is power, as they say.
Exactly. The more we understand about AI, about its impact, the better equipped we are to advocate for change, for responsible development, you know? We can demand transparency from the companies building these technologies, push for regulations that actually prioritize fairness and prevent discrimination.
So it's about finding our voice, using our influence, however small it might seem, to make sure that AI serves humanity and not the other way around.
100%. Yeah. And I think studies like this one, they're so crucial. They give us the information, spark the conversations, and hopefully lead to real change. It's a roadmap.
A roadmap to a better future.
Exactly. A future where we're using AI to build a more just and equitable world for everyone, not just a select few.
And on that note, we'll leave you with this thought. If AI can so effectively mirror human decision making, just imagine what's possible if we can teach it to make those decisions better, fairer, more just. That's a challenge worth striving for.
Couldn't agree more.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.